The Accidental Entrepreneur is produced by Beinhacker Law and brought to you through our affiliate relationships with the following sponsors. One of One Productions, the New Jersey-based podcast studio that produces and edits both audio and video podcasts. They sell equipment for the average podcaster and have even created a guesting kit exclusively for our listeners. North Authentic, the conscious hair care marketplace offering the cleanest brands from around the world. The Healthy Place, the e-commerce site with thousands of supplements to help you live a healthier life, along with natural solutions for chronic pain, stress, anxiety, depression, sleeplessness, and much, much more. And be sure to support the podcast by ordering some logo merchandise from our online store. Listen to all of our sponsors' commercials later in this episode and follow their links in the show notes to learn more about their products and services.
So you have to, you have to be a certain individual, driven individual. You have to have a strong why.
Yeah,
strong why. You have to know why you're doing certain things. Yeah. Otherwise, you're not.
Because if you're going to have setbacks, and then if you don't have a why, you're going to give up.
Constantly.
Why am I doing this? Why am I getting the shit beat out of me? That's going to be your why.
Yes.
And people walk away. And then they tell about these old bad experiences they had in real estate or business or whatever. And you're like, that was your whole experience? It's going to take you 10 more of those before you're successful.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. So, yeah, strong why, core fundamentals, driven. And I think like through the past 20 years, I think that's been kind of like the characteristics or the main storyline of my businesses. And now I have the podcast, obviously, Cash for Ninja. That's an entire educational company business that I've built out with programs and so forth. And then I have two other businesses. Which one is in the insurance space, which mm-hmm. started virtually in 2015. We deal with clients in all 50 states. And then I have another business, which we raise a lot of capital for cash flow investments in specific niches, multifamily resorts and more.
Right. But they all kind of fit together, like one came off.
Symbiotic.
The insurance is-
The information provided in these episodes is for entertainment purposes only. It is not a guarantee of success or to be construed as advice of any kind. You should always seek advice from local licensed professionals before making any decisions.
The dictionary defines an entrepreneur as a person who organizes and manages any enterprise, especially a business, usually with considerable initiative and risk. People often start a business without much choice, perhaps due to a job loss or just being dissatisfied at work, and they come up with an idea they just know can be successful. They become entrepreneurs by accident. That is to say, their success or failure happens by accident, not with intention. My name is Mitch Beinhacker. I'm a corporate attorney and a business advisor. You're listening to The Accidental Entrepreneur, my podcast about how to achieve success on purpose, not by accident. Join me along with our monthly guests where we share our knowledge and help you get a hold of your business. And now on to today's episode.
My name is MC Lobsher. I'm an investor and entrepreneur, and people know me as the Cashflow Ninja. I'm the creator and host of the Cashflow Ninja podcast, and I am super excited to be on the show today.
Okay, MC, so thanks for coming on the show. I appreciate it. We were just starting to talk about how you started Cashflow Ninja, what the name means and all that stuff, but maybe we could go back because I could tell from your Brooklyn accent that you grew up in the streets in New York. And talk about your background and where you're from, and you know, we'll get up to how you got into what you're doing now.
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is MC Lobsher. So as you mentioned, it's not a Brooklyn accent. It's also not a Pennsylvanian accent. So I'm originally from South Africa. I came here 20 years ago.
Okay.
20 years. Time flies when you're having fun. And I actually came to the States to travel, and I played sports, played rugby. So I had a scholarship in university playing rugby, and I was going to play in a national league in the United States, which I did play up until 2007.
Rugby's like football, but you can die while you're playing, right? Because you have no pads, no helmet, nothing.
No pads, right. No helmet, just good old-fashioned fun.
Real tough guys. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, so I did that. And, you know, when you play sports and you travel a lot, guys they do stuff on the road.
Right.
So some guys play video games. Other guys are into card games. And I started to jump into books and started to read. And I started reading, you know, Robert Kiyosaki, Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
All right.
Went down the rabbit hole when it comes to money and investing and economics and history. So that's kind of what I did while I was traveling. So I wanted a different skill set too. When I'm done with sports, to be able to do something else.
Sports ends, and a lot of these guys, unfortunately, in the pros especially, they don't think that far down the road. They're going to have a finite career, whether they want it, whether they get hurt next week or it's 5 or 6 years. I mean, it's going to be finite. So, you know, it's use the time wisely. I think it makes sense.
Yeah, and also to your point, people don't think that this it's going to end, and then also. Rugby, obviously not being one of the featured professional sports in the States, although right. it's professional in a lot of other countries.
Earnings are lower.
With the same, with the same kind of level, I guess, of which it's played at as professional sports here. You know, I used and leveraged sports to meet great people, see great places in the world and travel and have some fun. So I always knew it was going to end. So I wanted some skill sets. And I always thought of, all right, what am I going to do when I'm done playing rugby? And I wanted to learn the game of capital and wealth, as I said, and understand how the game works and how it's played so I can eventually you know, start a business or invest in things and so forth. So I did that.
And that was how long ago?
20 years ago. Bought my first real estate property 20 years ago.
Now, did you go to university in South Africa?
Yeah, in South Africa.
And you played rugby there?
And I played rugby there.
Okay.
And I got a scholarship at university there playing rugby. And then when I came here, I just played in the league and, looked at other things.
So there's a league in the United States, or is it a world league? Or
There was a league in the United States.
This is 20 years ago, so.
Which ended in 2007. And it's actually, there's a professional rugby league now. Major League Rugby is a professional league. And they actually showcase a lot of the games on major networks. So it's come a long way. Rugby's come a long way in the 20 years.
I'm sure during the pandemic, it's probably helped the sport because they were looking for anything they could find to put on TV where there's no live sports. You're seeing all this stuff from around the world that you normally wouldn't see.
Yeah, it's huge, of course, overseas. And especially in all of the former British colonies, being a British, you know.
So you take South Africa, Australia.
New Zealand, obviously. And then it's also big in other parts of Europe. Like France is obviously a very, very competitive team and have a great rugby league and a professional league and so forth. But yeah, I kind of have that background. So I've got the whole sports background and then the team sports approach background. And then I was always curious. I mean, growing up in South Africa, I grew up during a very interesting time there. It was essentially the apartheid regime was still in full swing. So I grew up in a transition where a country went from a totalitarian regime to a different form of government, which was very interesting too. So I realized the world isn't as presented, which was a gift at that young age. And so I've taken that approach and mindset into everything else, you know, business, investing. And then today I've got a show called Cashflow Ninja, which I started almost 6 years ago, five and a half plus years ago.
You might have been like the first podcast in the world. There was because 2 or 3 years ago, there were maybe 500,000 podcasts. Now we're at a lot of podcasts, but I mean, 6, 7 years ago was just the early days of podcasting.
You actually are pretty much spot on with your numbers. I just looked at the numbers. So there's more than 1 million podcasts right now, about there. And there was 550,000 podcasts like in 2018. So you're on.
Yeah, because the pandemic went nuts. Everybody's like, I got to do a podcast.
Yep.
Now, a lot of them don't have longevity like yours does and mine does, but you know, they, for whatever it is, it's a medium that you can get into pretty easily.
You know what I love about podcasting is it doesn't compete with anything else.
It really doesn't, no.
So especially if
it complements a lot of things.
It does. Yeah. So a lot of the people that listen to my show and listen to your show, I'm assuming, commute. You know, so they drive somewhere, so they're listening.
Right.
They're working out. They're at work listening to it. Or they just enjoy it leisurely. So you have control over it. It's on demand. Doesn't compete with anything else.
No.
You know, compare that with video.
Yeah.
So, listen, with such as everything in life, timing is everything. You know, timing is everything. There's no way around
Usually that's hindsight, though. You discover later that your timing was good. You never know at the get-go.
I had a realization that I think this was going to be big 5 or 6 years ago because I started to see where things were going, and I'm like, wait a second.
Yeah.
This is very untapped. There's enormous potential here. So I went all in on podcasting. It was a trend that I thought was only going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And then as audiences started to move away from traditional radio to podcasting, I just doubled down.
Yeah, well, the devices changed. That's kind of – now, let me ask you – I know we're bouncing around.
Yeah.
We're going to get back to 20 years ago when you started your first business or whatever. But was it difficult – so 6 years ago – was it difficult to start a podcast? Because now, a couple hundred bucks or even Anchor, you could do your podcast. They'll do the feeds for you once you set everything up and you're off and running. Was it harder back then?
$25 I spent on a microphone.
Okay.
And two pieces of free software. And then I had a host account.
Was it harder to get it uploaded or it was still pretty easy?
It was still pretty easy. Okay. It was still user-friendly. Now they built out the entire space, you know.
Yeah, well, now it's all on your phone. And I remember when I first started listening to podcasts, I wasn't an Apple person. So if you didn't have an iPod,
yes,
you had to buy these weird devices that were non-iPod related that would still play these things.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened to – well, this is what happened to them. They became phones.
Yeah, this is essentially – the smartphone is a TV.
Yeah.
And
listening device.
The channels on there is now your TV channels.
They squeezed a phone in there. It's like an afterthought. My kids don't even understand that. So.
Do we even talk to people on phones
anymore?
I don't.
My kids text each other next to them. So they're sitting there. I'm like, who are you texting? Texting my sister. She's sitting right next to you. Why don't you just talk? Well, but there's someone else in the conversation and we're chatting and
yeah.
It's craziness.
Yeah, I can't remember the last time I had a conversation actually on the phone.
You know, it's a lot of work to like make a phone call, wait for them to answer the phone, and you could just text them or whatever. It's just easier.
And then you have to talk.
Yeah, talking is a big day. It's a lot of work.
We seem
here
like
we
two fellas that are
– we like to talk. Yeah, it's
having
true.
Issues talking, yeah. Right?
So let's go back 20 years now.
Yep.
You learned all this stuff. You came out of rugby. Did you – tell me what you did first.
Yeah, so I took action, and sometimes it's like – sometimes it's a blessing when you don't know what you don't know.
It always is.
And you dive
ignorance in. Is bliss.
Yeah, because I think like if you overthink it too much and there's actually too much information.
You scare yourself.
You're going to wet yourself before you even do it.
Yeah, absolutely. You'll never do it.
Yeah, when I was young, I mean, I took action. I had no idea. I bought my first property, two bedroom, one bath. This was actually in South Africa. I was in the States. Then I went back there, bought real estate there.
Okay. That was your first thing, the first venture? You bought some real estate?
First venture. Okay. Yeah, I still remember after I rented it out, they paid rent. I made the mortgage payment, paid all the ancillary fees and expenses. There was money left over, and I looked at this and I said, you got to be kidding me. Just like in the books.
If there wasn't money left over, you'd have a problem.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm like, wait a second. This is just like in the – how many of these can I do?
Well, Robert Kiyosaki taught you, right? You buy houses, then you trade them in for a hotel. It's like Monopoly.
Exactly. And then, of course, school starts.
Okay. Yeah. Well, then you really
then you realize
stuff.
Tenants don't pay rent.
Yeah.
They would damage your property. They'll break – break stuff. So then really school started for me. I took my journey as an investor then. From a business perspective, I failed more than the successes. I mean,
you learned more than other
there
people.
Was probably
that's
there
how
was,
I look at
yeah,
it.
Yeah, there was probably 10 years of learnings
yeah.
there and starting
yeah.
stuff that just didn't fly and didn't work out for
right.
one or other reason. But you take the lessons, and as you stack all the lessons and experiences, you get a little bit smarter.
Well, that's the whole game, right? If you buy a piece of real estate, you buy your first house, like you said, two-family
yeah.
house, and the experience is miserable, people leave the business and they go, oh, real estate's terrible. And they have all
right.
these reasons. And you're like, that's your whole experience is one house?
Right.
Obviously, it's going to be a problem. But you're also a driven guy with sports and everything like that. But
that's the big part of it. You know, having the background of being a sports person, I realized that, setting big targets, that scares you, going after it,
right.
failing until you become successful. And your sports thing is like, listen, you play, you get your butt kicked.
Yeah, you fail all the time. You don't quit.
You look at the game tape.
Right.
You look at
play
what you could do better.
Game.
Yeah, yeah. So I just took the same kind of thing, and I was
right.
never going to give up.
Well, in sports, you never – like that's not even part of the conversation. Like,
right.
well, we lost, so let's all go home and stop playing. Like nobody says that.
Throw in the towel.
But in business, they fail, and they're like, this doesn't work, and they run away.
Yeah.
But you're right. I think if more people looked at – failure, let's use that in quotes, right? Yep. It's an opportunity to learn and grow towards their ultimate success. Yep. If they took it that way, I think it wouldn't affect them as much emotionally if they just said, well, I knew this was going to happen, or good chance it was going to happen.
Right.
It's my first time doing this or whatever. I screwed it up. And right. that's how you learn. But a lot of people don't, they freak out, like you said.
Yeah, and still today, like I still remember, and this is a sports kind of moment that I had, is when I played rugby at a pretty high level, and I was part of the U.S. national men's player pool for mm-hmm. a number of years. And I still remember playing, we played in a tournament against Canada, the Canadian teams, and I still remember taking my first hit in that game. I'm a pretty big guy. I can take care of myself.
It was
and it's
a serious
like literally,
hit,
right? It feels like somebody just hit you with a baseball bat.
And you don't wear any pads in
it. No,
rugby,
you get
nothing.
Up and you're like, all right, I guess I'm here.
Yeah.
Now let's play. Keep trucking.
Right.
Let's keep on going.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with business and investing. As you play at higher and higher levels, the challenges become bigger. And of course you have to rise to the occasion. So I still remember, and I still get it, you know, trying to do big things now where I have that moment where I'm like, oh, okay, we're playing on at a bigger level now.
Yeah.
We've got a bigger challenge in front of us. And I still remember when I got popped, my first popped, when I hit the hole and in sports, if you're a sports person listening, you know, as you go up in levels, the game speed it's not fractional, it's
no.
exponential,
geometric. Yeah.
It's like going from college football
right.
and take as a running back and hitting your first hole in the NFL, and
yeah.
all of a sudden you don't. Seconds later, you don't know what just
right,
happened.
Right, because it's a pyramid,
you.
And the guys. I remember I played a lot of tennis in high school.
Yeah,
varsity. I was one of the top players in my high school. We had a little
yeah.
town. I went to college, and I wasn't going to play at the collegiate level, but I was playing intramural. I went out for the team.
Yep.
I could have made. I was like ridiculous, and I was like, oh my god, I'm going to spend my whole life playing tennis. I mean, they were knocking rackets out of my hand. The speed in which they were playing was yeah. astronomically higher than I was used to playing. And either you're the guy who can hold on to the racket and keep playing, or bye-bye, you're going to go do something else.
That's it. And funny enough, with that same analogy, I know a lot of people have said this, but it comes down to basic fundamentals at that stage, which
yep.
is that is so transferable to business and investing.
Right, right.
It doesn't matter the size of the deal or the level at which your business is. It all comes down to the fundamentals. The same thing as in sports.
But don't you think it's also, especially at that level in sports,
yeah.
a lot of it's confidence, like your ability to believe that you can make this happen and not give up?
Yes.
Because I think a lot of people, that's their problem. They don't have the confidence. Look, the guys that are successful, I use guys loosely, women and men that are successful in the real estate investing business, in business, the people that I meet, they have a certain, they're an A-type. They're
yep.
pretty driven.
Yep.
I'm not saying that people are B's and C's can't be successful.
Yep.
It's going to be harder for them. They have to try harder, and then maybe they will raise their game
yes.
as they learn.
Yep. No,
yeah.
no, it's true. It's very, very, very true. So you have to, I mean, you have to be a certain individual, driven individual. You have to have a strong why.
Yeah, strong
why. You have
why.
To know why you're doing certain things.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're not.
Because if you're going to have setbacks, and then if you don't have a why, you're going to give up.
Constantly.
Why am I doing this? Why am I getting the shit beat out of me? That's going to be your why.
Yes.
And people walk away. And then they tell about these old bad experiences they had in real estate or business or whatever. And you're like, that was your whole experience? It's going to take you 10 more of those before you're successful.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. So, yeah, strong why, core fundamentals, driven. And I think like through the past 20 years, I think that's been kind of like the characteristics or the main storyline of my businesses. And now I have the podcast, obviously, Cash for Ninja. That's an entire educational company business that I've built out with
right.
programs and so forth. And then I have two other businesses. Which one is in the insurance space, which
mm-hmm.
started virtually in 2015. We deal with clients in all 50 states. And then I have another business, which we raise a lot of capital for cash flow investments in specific niches, multifamily resorts and more.
Right. But they all kind of fit together. Like one came
symbiotic.
Off. The insurance is be your own banker type of stuff, right?
That's right.
Graham Nash. I know the book.
Yeah, yeah,
I grew up in the
Nash.
Insurance
yep.
business.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
it's funny. I grew up in the life insurance business. My father's an agent for a long time.
Yep.
And I'm very familiar with cash flow and the tax advantages of life insurance. But it seems to be, I just met Lane Kiyowaka. Do you know him?
Yes.
From Hawaii?
Yeah.
He, I know, passive, like, simple passive cash flow, I think is his website. Anyway, he's also attracted to that stuff. A lot of the guys realize what they can leverage with those kind of products and how it complements real estate.
Yep.
And, you know, it's funny because I don't know if that's Graham Nash and why he wrote the book to begin with, but.
Yeah, I think like the big picture there is when it comes to the resources that you have, is how can you use them in a strategy where they do multiple things?
Right.
Leverage them properly.
Yeah.
So you could do the same thing, for example, within your business, right? Credit lines, business loans. You place the business assets and receivables as collateral.
Yeah.
You could do the same thing with stocks. You could borrow against stocks. It's called asset-based lending. You could do the same thing with real estate, HELOCs, cash out refi. You could do the same thing with commodities such as gold, silver, and art.
Right.
You could borrow up to 50% of the value of them, and you could have your gold and buy some real estate that produces cash flow with your gold, right? And life insurance is the same thing. It falls into that, especially the high cash value life insurance.
Right.
And then, of course, now the flavor of, I would say, the past 20 months is crypto, where you could do essentially the same thing with crypto. But it all just comes down to having a proper strategy where you position assets or position yourself in assets and then position them where you can leverage them very effectively. So it's kind of the same thing. And that's kind of been the philosophy of what we share with folks. Obviously, it's focused specifically on the insurance, but it's looking at the entire
picture,
what people are doing, how they can do things better. And then we share some strategies, which is done in a lot of family offices. So we do, for example, high cash value life insurance, premium financing.
Yeah.
You know, and so those
really
type of strategies.
Things.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a guy who, he's since passed away, but I think his company's still around. The process was called Leap.
Have
you heard about
Leap?
I'm
very familiar with Leap.
It's a very efficient type of, it's the same thing. It's about cash flow, the speed in which money, using things multiple times, having your protection, but not, you know, you can't separate everything and pay for everything separately. You're going to run out of money.
Right.
And how to be efficient with your money. Real estate happens to be a very efficient asset because you can depreciate things. You get a lot of tax benefits. You can roll it. You can exchange the property and never pay, you know, avoid that kind of stuff. And there's other things that aren't so efficient that you should, you know, stay away from. But yeah, the whole concept of the velocity of money and the way things work is fascinating to me because I think a lot of people don't look at it that way, holistically.
They don't. Robert Castellone, I believe, is the guy that wrote the
book.
Right,
Bob Castellone, right?
Yeah, exactly.
He's since passed away, I think.
Yes, yeah. And he, you know, that whole thing and this, and for entrepreneurs especially, this is very important because essentially when you're building your business, you have to be resourceful.
Right.
And essentially as your business is growing, you have to become very resourceful.
Right.
Otherwise, you're going to have to go and look for resources in other places if you cannot find it within your own personal economy. And sometimes they don't know what they have and what they could use and leverage.
Right.
And then they bring in equity partners because
who
they put up the capital.
Major advantage of them.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Exactly. So I think, like, you know, most people would put it in different buckets. And it is two different skill sets, right? On being an entrepreneur and then being a great investor.
Right.
Usually it's the opposite type of skill sets too. So you would see a lot of entrepreneurs that are very successful that try to become investors and they blow up.
Sometimes they can't do it.
But sometimes you need that slight little overlap where you're like, okay, how can I be efficient as an entrepreneur and leverage my resources more efficiently and then, you know, bring in a little bit of an investor mentality into my business to look at it.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about then stuff because obviously you progressed up to doing all these things you're doing. Now you're, like you mentioned, crypto. You clearly are always learning about it, reading about it, talking about it, because that's a progressing area and the speed at which it goes is ridiculous. So when back then you bought your first house, what happened after that? What were the businesses you got into? How did you start progressing up that ladder?
It was real estate. And then I tried different other consulting type of businesses. So energy efficiency, it's been around for 20 years or so. So I tried some stuff in there. And then eventually I had my MBA in finance.
Okay.
And I tried to become better as a real estate investor because I had a portfolio of properties at that point.
Here's a word from our sponsors. Looking to get into podcasting? Maybe to market your business for your own enjoyment or because you have a message you want to get out there. One of One Productions is a New Jersey-based studio just over the George Washington Bridge that caters to the booming business of podcasting. They offer a comfortable atmosphere using the latest technology available to record your podcast. And they are a full-service media company offering both audio and video production services, creating both audio and video podcasts, as well as video shorts for business and personal use. Professional audio equipment packages are available through their website for all budgets. And be sure to check out their podcast guesting kit, created specially for our listeners. Care for your health. Care for the planet and look flippin' great doing it. North Authentic is a conscious hair care marketplace offering the cleanest brands from around the world. Their pro stylists curate only the most fabulous non-toxic hair products with better-for-you shampoos, serums, masks, and more that actually give you gorgeous hair without hurting your health or the planet. Hey, you've only got one life, one planet, and one glorious mane. Might as well treat them all as best you can, right? Try a 100% clean hair care routine prescribed just for you using their link in the show notes. If you don't see a big, beautiful difference in how your hair looks and feels, you can tell them they're crazy. Do you battle chronic pain, stress, anxiety, or depression? Well, if you take any supplements or you're interested in natural alternatives, you need to know about findyourhealthyplace.com. Find Your Healthy Place has thousands of supplements to help you live a better quality of life, as well as natural solutions for chronic pain, stress, anxiety, depression, sleeplessness, and much, much more. Need guidance? Use their live chat feature and talk to a wellness consultant right on their website. And be sure to use our coupon code TAEPODCAST for all your purchases to get the best prices at findyourhealthyplace.com. Follow their links in the show notes to learn more about all of our sponsors. And now back to our show.
And I was trying to leverage the resources that I have, because you get to a point where you're like, all right, I feel like I'm not going anywhere.
Right.
How do I get to
kind
the next level?
Kind of plateau and everything.
And right. That's where I had a friend that he refers to himself as, you know, someone that grew up, that's part of the Lucky Sperm Club, basically.
Yeah.
But his family is a very
wealthy. That exists.
Yeah, it sure does. But he came from a very wealthy family, and they were massive real estate investors, but they also structured their wealth in a certain way. So I wanted to learn more from him.
Yeah.
Say, okay, what do you guys do? And that's, by the way, the first time that I saw some of the insurance strategies. And I'm like, wait a second.
Yeah, the wealthiest people use those kind of products.
It was just the insight of like what the 1% was doing at that stage. I couldn't comprehend all of it.
Right.
I mean, we're talking, this is about 14 years ago, approximate. Right. So anyway, my mind was just blown and I was hooked. I'm like, wait a second. Like, you have less than 1% of the people that know this stuff and that use this stuff, and the majority of people are doing something completely different. And I was hooked. So I started to use some of the strategies on a very small level.
Yeah.
And that's what I share, by the way, now too, because everybody's all – And this is what I love about Americans too, is the big thinking.
Yeah.
Like they think like, oh, I have to do in order to do this, I need to have like David Rockefeller.
Right.
Wealth.
No, you don't.
And
there's
it's like, no, you don't have to have what the Rockefellers have to do what
you just got
to
know their strategies.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So I love that big thinking, but you don't necessarily have to even be at that level. So I just started doing it little by little.
Yeah.
And then I started to see as part of a wealth strategy a lot of success in that way. And then I, you know, started to learn more and more about it and eventually build a business out of it, which became Producer's Wealth.
Yeah.
And then started my podcast after I did that, because I saw what was happening in podcasting and I had no idea exactly which direction I wanted to take with the podcasting. Right. But I'm like, I have a company. How can I increase
share,
exposure?
Right, create
and
good content.
Yeah. So I did that. And then funnily enough, this is 2016 we're talking about when I started my podcast, early 2016. And one of the first people, like within the first 20 episodes that I interviewed, was somebody talking about Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies.
Ah, okay.
And I was just blown away.
Yeah, it was just fascinating.
Because I came from the mindset of, from an economic standpoint, Austrian economics, which is the Nelson Nash becoming your banker crowd.
Right, right.
Just sound free market economics. So I understood and appreciated that. When I saw that, I'm like, especially after 2008 and 2009, I'm like, wait a second.
Right, the crash.
Here's people building out an entire financial system on this, on the other side of
this. Blockchain is going to pervade a lot of industries, not just money.
Yeah, So I started, I mean, if I reflect back, which this has been a fun exercise to do, by the way, to think back over the past 20 years, I'm like, there was a lot of things that lined up there, you know, where I started to get an insight of the 1% strategies, leveraging that in my own life, starting that company, sharing that, starting the podcast, learning more about crypto and blockchain, which we talk about a lot now and obviously share a lot in our network. Yeah, and then eventually growing my investment side of my own wealth strategy and creating a business around that. So it all kind of feeds, right?
Yeah.
You have the insurance,
you keep building,
education platform, and then you have the capital raising business.
Yeah. I think something you said, though, is a really good piece of advice for people is to don't overlook the value of a mentor or an advisor, and you should always look for people that you consider that are higher than you, that are doing more than you, that are wealthier than you, that are exposed to things that at that point you had never been exposed to, right?
Right.
And you wouldn't have been if he didn't take you under his wing kind of thing, right?
Yeah, mentors are
– do it themselves.
You cannot emphasize how powerful they can be.
Yeah.
I mean, just think about sports again. The mentors there are coaches. And you have different mentors too, by the way. I always talk about it that I had a high school rugby coaches, and they were awesome. Awesome coaches. They got me ready for college.
Yeah.
And then got me into college, and then I had my scholarship there, and then I had my college coaches. And then – they were working with me and my team around there and strength and conditioning and fitness training and coaches and so forth, positional coaches. And then you get to the next level, whether it be club or professional, you know, and so forth. You have them along the way in sports. You have them along the way in your journey as an entrepreneur. And you have them along the way as an investor. I mean, you could literally shortcut, you know, who is it? Is it Charlie Munger that says, just tell me where and when I'm going to die and I won't go there?
Right. Probably.
That's true. That's why he's still alive, by the way. Him and Warren Buffett.
Right.
But essentially, it's so true. You could learn from everyone else's mistakes. You know, learn from the things that they would do if they were in your situation.
Right.
Because everybody that is older, that have gotten success, look back and they're like, man, if I only did this and this and this, I would have probably shortcutted my route by
– well, that's the thing, right?
Exponentially.
You want to speed up. I mean, that's kind of what – Cashflow Ninjas become, right? It's kind of it's a business, but it's also a kind of a give back of sharing what you've learned the last 20 years. So maybe people will they'll still make mistakes, but maybe they'll make different mistakes or they'll make less mistakes, you know?
Yeah. And it, essentially, you know, today, in the time that we live in right now, so fourth industrial revolution, type of era, A lot of information overload. What's valuable and what value can businesses provide in this digital age is intellectual shortcuts and also network shortcuts. So through Cashflow Ninja, we try to give a lot of intellectual shortcuts of, hey, rather than reading through 8 hours of a specific subject or topic matter,
right,
let me bring in an expert and we'll put it in an hour for you. People find that valuable. Same thing with network. You know how long it takes to build out a solid network of people and great folks. You have to kiss a lot of frogs. It's a dating game, I guess.
Yeah, to a certain extent.
So folks can tap into a powerful network and they can provide a shortcut instead of, you know, spending 20 years to figure out that network.
No, and I think you had said it on when I was in the green room, so to speak, and you were on another podcast, you were talking about finding your community or your tribe of where you want to learn about what you do. And a lot of people, when they do that, you know, they're like, I could do it myself or I wouldn't do that. It'd be drink the Kool-Aid. But with like-minded people, the right kind of people, you learn a lot very quickly as to what they've done and do and how they do it.
Yep. No, absolutely. I mean, it's what's it, Jim Rohn that talked about the five people? I mean, it could probably be attributed that quote to so many people.
Probably.
Because everybody said it probably throughout time.
Right.
And throughout centuries.
He probably said it was someone else before him.
Exactly. But it becomes, you do become with the five people that you spend the most time with. So, you know, my dad always said you can't be an eagle if you're hanging out with turkeys
all
the time.
That's for sure. You can't soar with the eagles, right? You just hang with the turkeys. So let's talk about some takeaways, because I don't know if Rob will tell us how long we've been on, but I guess he's keeping track of the time. What kind of things do you recommend to, you know, the people that are just getting started or they're coming on to get involved with Cashflow Ninja to building their future and what they should do? Let's say they're younger, so they do have time. They're not 60 years old. Not that you can't start when you're 60, but it's harder.
Yeah.
So maybe they're 25 or 30. What's the kind of thing that you tell people in terms of getting started?
Yeah, I would say have a strategy and be very intentional with it.
Yeah.
And pursue excellence in your craft daily within that strategy, regardless of what it is as an entrepreneur or as an investor. So having a strategy, I mean by, you know, and this is a framework and a model that I've used by interviewing over 700 of these cash flow ninjas, is everybody makes money somehow.
Yeah.
Then they've got to position that money somewhere.
Yeah.
Money has to reside somewhere. And then that money has to be deployed and leveraged to create cash flow. And then there's also things that you could do for cash growth. And then you have to protect it all. You have to put a wall around this kingdom,
yeah,
and protect it from all of the pirates that are
right.
out there,
right? That's
and
true.
Bandits,
right?
So you do that through proper tax strategy, through proper estate planning, and through a proper asset protection.
Mm-hmm.
But have a strategy. Figure out, okay, most of these very successful people, this is what they do. They make money and they figure out a way how to make more money.
Right.
And they do that by investing themselves in intellectual capital and relationships, relationship capital. And then they position it. We gave them options early of all these different places that they could put money
right.
to have it positioned efficiently, to then leverage it, to use it, to create and generate cash flow. Using an example, we have a business owner in our network that placed the assets of the business as collateral for a business loan. So he
right.
bought the building from which the business operates.
Which is a common thing, right.
Exactly. And now he's got other tenants in the building. He's got cash flow, essentially. So, essentially that's one way of doing it. And then, of course, we listed a whole bunch of other stuff of areas where they can put it. And then of course, look at the other assets and investments that, you know, they could potentially invest in for cash flow.
Right.
Cash growth, the same thing is I look at cash growth as an area where you position certain capital for explosive growth, capitalizing on trends, crypto obviously being the one top of mind.
Right.
Biotech, you know, pick your flavor
sure.
of ice cream. There's a whole bunch of them.
Right.
There's a Baskin and Robbins one of them. of all these
Well,
flavors.
You got to do things you understand and you're comfortable with, right?
That
so you
know
you
and understand.
Yourself.
Exactly.
Sure.
And then make sure you protect it, because the pirates and the bandits will come after it. So
right.
that's what I would do from a framework and a model standpoint is if you're just getting started and just incrementally get better every single day and chip away
right.
every single day.
Yeah, you're basically writing a business plan for what you'd like to do from a cash flow standpoint, the assets you'd like to build. I think a lot of people don't do that. They don't put it in writing. I mean, forget about writing an actual business plan for a business. This is so how you want to build your wealth strategically. If you don't have something to go back to and look at and work and say, did this work? Did that work? Do I have to adjust this? Where do I go from here? You can't do it in your head. I mean, people think they can, but the most successful people don't do it that way. They
now,
do it the way you said.
Have a business plan for your life.
Yeah.
I mean, otherwise, you're not going to know what you have, what you can do, and why you're doing it. You know, look at top entrepreneurs right now, like Elon Musk, right? So Elon just took a huge collateralized loan against these Tesla shares.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at Tesla's latest statements that they put out and their balance sheets and so forth. So why does Elon do that? Again, Elon knows how to make money and raise capital.
Right.
And of course, he knows how to position it properly. He just reinvests back in his own companies.
Yeah.
So Tesla being one of them, he's a big owner of the shares. And he positioned it in the shares so that he can collateralize it, leverage it, so he doesn't have to sell the shares and pay taxes on the shares.
Right.
So now what does he do with that money? Well, he's an entrepreneur. He invests in other businesses, whether it's Neuralink, the
right.
one that they're going to plug into your brains,
yeah, right,
or whether it's SpaceX or
yeah.
whatever it is. And then, of course, he knows how to protect himself. That's why he's running out of California. Besides that, he's fighting with people all the time on social media.
Right.
But he's doing exactly that. Now, you think, would Elon do that if he didn't have a business plan for his life?
Yeah, he just wakes up one morning and says, you know what? Let's take a loan out and build space rockets.
No.
I mean, I don't think
yeah,
so.
Yeah, he knows exactly
right.
what he has and then why he does and how he's going to do it and the benefits of it. So he thinks very strategically. It's not just, unintentionally.
Right. It's intentional. And I think he knows that the use of his money relative to the cost of the money,
yes.
whatever it costs to borrow the money, is a lot less than what he gets from putting it into whatever business it is that he is investing in.
Right.
And he knows that.
Here's the big thing that entrepreneurs, the mistakes that they make too, and I had a mentality like that too before I got the insight of the 1% strategies. We try to solve everything by making more money and revenue.
Right.
We just think of, oh, well, taxes went up, or, you know, this situation has arisen. Oh, let's just make more money.
Right.
It's going to solve it.
Right.
And it's like, you can make more money and get to keep more money.
Well, it's how much you keep. That's the issue. Well, unfortunately, that makes it worse, because sometimes cash flow hides a lot of problems that you ignore. And then, like, a pandemic hits and all the cash flow stops, and you're standing there looking around the room going, oh my God, we're making no money. And you realize then it becomes a problem. It's a house of cards. And that's definitely a lot of small entrepreneurs, because we're very right brain, right? We like to be creative and all that we don't know our numbers as well as we should. Some of them know none of the numbers.
Right.
And they rely on other people, which is fine to rely on advisors and know that stuff, but you still got to be dialed in so you know what you're looking at, you know what you're asking for.
Yep.
And I think a lot of people should spend more time learning the numbers of their business, whether it's the real estate that they own or the ventures they're investing in or the actual business that they're running. You and I should know that if a dollar comes in the door, 20 cents of it is profit, or 5 cents of it is profit, which is a problem, then why am I doing this? You know, you should have the answers to those questions. And a lot of people just, maybe they're afraid of the real answer, that they're not really making money.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the Mike Michalowicz profit first kind
you
of
got
model.
It. And pay yourself first.
Yeah, exactly. Paying yourself first. We learned that through the reading The Richest Man of Babylon, and we run around in personal finance with, I'm going to pay myself first, but we don't do it.
That's why his system, even though it's a simple concept, he didn't invent the concept. I love his books, by the way. Came out. I was listening to Get Different. The new one that just came out on the way here.
Yep.
So I've had him on the podcast. He's a great guy. He's from New Jersey. That's an example of creating a system with a simple concept to just put some money aside for yourself first and change the habits that you have about just throwing money back into your business and not knowing, like you said, strategically where it's going. Is it doing the right thing here? Why, should I be renovating this part of the house or building that year? Got to know what your capital investments are and why, and what you get back from that. And a lot of people don't, and they get their head handed to them. Like you said, it's the unfortunate side. I think, what does Michalowicz call it? Entrepreneurial poverty. There are a lot of entrepreneurs that their lifestyle businesses, it just gets them by.
Yep.
Every day. They're not building any kind of wealth.
Yeah. You have to be cognizant of your financial statements that includes your cash flow statement.
Right.
Most people just think of the income statement and of your balance sheet, but the cash flow statement. Yeah, I mean, there are businesses that have gone out of business because they didn't manage their cash flow statements profitably, even though they're crushing it and selling as many widgets as they can.
Right.
And there's an enormous demand for it. And then they run themselves out of business and everybody sits there twiddling their thumbs.
Well, they were doing $10 billion in sales. Well, but they were it's costing them $11 billion to operate. That eventually puts you out of business.
That personal finance and in business too, right? Because that we have a lot of folks in our network, and especially some of the companies that we're working that I'm running too, where we have folks coming in, they're making a couple of million bucks a year, but they're spending several million bucks more.
Their lifestyle is way, but and it doesn't help just to increase your revenue. If you're increasing
your
costs,
that's not going to solve the problem. That's just going to increase it. It's just going to get bigger and bigger because the core issue is not addressed. Right?
Yeah, I've had business owners literally tailor down their business because they realized that they would be making more money with less gross revenue and getting rid of expenses and simplifying their life than running a million-dollar, $5, $10 million business where they were only bringing home $200,000 or $300,000 a year. They could be doing that, making $500,000 and bringing home $200,000 or $300,000 a year. And sometimes that's a hard change to make. But I think, like you said, if you start strategically, if you learn, follow guys like you. You mentioned a lot of good resources out there and a lot of these books and authors, and there's some really good people out there. It will I'm an attorney, right? So I don't guarantee anything, but it would increase their chances of success.
That's what
I say.
It's incredible that you just said that, because I had a conversation yesterday with someone exactly about that exact same specific point of view where he was actually reducing the size of his company, and he's sort of forced to because of all these supply chain issues.
Right,
they don't have
to pivot.
They can't get product, and for all the demand that they have, and people are literally coming over just handing them multi-million-dollar contracts, and they're like, can't do it.
Yeah.
Can't fulfill on it, and they can't even service the business they have currently. So they've actually reduced the size of their company, taken a good solid look at themselves from the inside out. So they're going to reduce that, and they'll actually be more profitable.
Yeah,
so
I mean, there are some silver linings to this whole. I mean, nobody wanted 500,000 people to die in the process.
Yeah. But
there are some silver linings to the whole pandemic. So let's talk about how can people interact with you. They want to find you online. They want to get involved with Cashflow Ninja, learn from you and your community.
Yeah, absolutely. So cashflowninja.com is our website, cashflowninja.com. And then I also have a new book out. It's my first – I started another company, which I didn't even talk about, a publishing one. But it's the first book that I've put out after 6 years. So it's the 21 Best Cashflow Niches, Creating Wealth and the Best Alternative Cashflow Investments. And
Amazon.
Amazon, it's on Amazon, and if they purchase the book and just screenshot their purchase and send it to my team and tell us that they found the book through you, that we'll give them access to the bundle that we're offering with the launch. So we'll give them access to the digital copy of the book, a audio copy of the book, because I know a lot of people consume their audio format, and then also I've interviewed over 700 people to get to this 21 niches, but we've curated a library where we have the interviews where they actually share this, and then there's some more bonus interviews in there, and that's also at cashflowninja.com or cashflowninja.com/21-21 niches.
We'll put a link in the show notes too.
Awesome.
So just before we cut off, you got to share the story. So I told you, you sent me your bio and your photo, and we had met before, right? So Cashflow Ninja, and I see this guy from South Africa, and I'm like, Ninja? I'm like, where that fits in, that's Asian. So you want to tell the story about where that comes from?
Yeah, so when I created the brand, Cashflow is obviously core for businesses and investing, so I wanted to plant the flag on Cashflow. But the Ninja, my dad is actually a very famous and well-known martial artist in the martial art of karate, that he used to travel before 2020. He used to travel 5 to 8 countries per year.
Wow.
Just to teach internationally. So he's actually a ninth Dan, one of the highest graded Westerners in the world. And I saw firsthand how my dad pursued excellence in his craft daily. So he's never arrived in excellence the same way that we should never arrive in knowledge, right? I know everything I need to know now. Right. So
they call that death when you've arrived. That's the end.
That's it.
That's it.
So that was a very inspiring. So I took the same approach with business and investing of how I just get up every day and I try to be better than I was the day before and pursue excellence as an entrepreneur or as an investor in the craft in those two areas. So,
I'm sure people listening were wondering that. So I had to get that out on the podcast we're talking. So I can't thank you enough for spending time with me. I know you got to hit the road soon. So this was awesome. It was my first day down in the On Air Brand studio, seeing all the guys. And let's definitely keep in touch. We'll put all your contact in the show notes. People can find you online. And a month or two, this will be out. So
awesome. Thank you so much for having me. This was a lot of fun. Thank you.
Awesome.
Bye.
If you like the podcast, please tell others about us. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, on Amazon Music, and many of the other podcast directories. If you like what you hear, please leave us a 5-star review and feel free to share our episodes on social media. If you have any questions or comments, ideas for the show, or you'd even like to appear as a guest, reach out to us by email at info@beinhackerlaw.com. The Accidental Entrepreneur is hosted and produced by me, Mitch Beinhacker. If you'd like more information about my legal services, you can find me on social media or visit my website at beinhackerlaw.com. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe to our feed to be notified of all future episodes.